Welcome this morning on this snowy day. I don't know about you, but I love it when it's cold and snowy outside to come inside where it's warm. And maybe that's just the northerner in me, but I think it's just awesome to be inside here in this place with people that we love worshiping the Lord. So welcome this morning. We are back into our series on Ephesians. And we've been in the book of Ephesians for a while. And hopefully all of you guys know by now that chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians is what? Doctrine. Good. 4 to 6 is duty, right? And so we're in that first section of Christian doctrine. All right? And just a brief review here. In chapter 1, we kind of had the ultimate zoom out picture of what we have in Christ, the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. From before the foundation of the world, we kind of zoomed way out and saw what we have in Christ, what He has done. And in chapter 2, we kind of zoom in. We zoom in real close. And the first 10 verses of chapter 2 is focusing on us individually. We were dead, but now we are made alive. By grace we have been saved. So that's the individual, what we have in Christ. And now we zoom out just a little bit more in verses 11 to 22. And now we see, well, what does this gospel, this grace, how does it impact how we relate to others in the church as a people of God? So what does the gospel of grace have to say about how we interact with the people around us, the people who are different from us? Does it have anything to say? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning in Ephesians 2. Now, this as Meredith read, this section of Ephesians is talking a lot about the Jews and the Gentiles, right? The Jews and the Gentiles. Before we really get into that, I just want to give you a little background, a little snapshot of what it was like to be a Jew and what it was like to be a Gentile during that time period. During that time, there was a temple, and it was the second temple. It wasn't Solomon's temple. That was destroyed, and the Jews built a new temple during that time. And this temple, it had different sections. There are separate sections of the temple. And in the most inner part of the temple, there was the court of the priests, and only the priests could go in there. And then you zoom out a little bit, you have the court of men, where only men are allowed. And then right outside of that, you have the court of women. Okay, and so there's very hierarchical, but any Jew, man or woman, can get in to the court of women, okay? And it was all on this platform. And surrounding the court of women was a stone wall. The stone wall surrounding the whole length of the court. And outside of that court was a court of the Gentiles. And the court of Gentiles was lowered. It was actually a couple of feet below. So the Gentiles could go all the way up to that stone wall, and they could look up, but they couldn't get past that wall. And on that wall, there are warning signs all over that wall. And this is what the warnings they actually found. They dug it up, and they actually found a sign. And this is what it said on that wall. It said, "No foreigner may enter within the barrier and enclosure around this temple. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." So it was like, you cannot, the penalty of going beyond this stone wall of death. That was the hostility between Gentiles and Jews. It was so bad that if there was a Gentile mother who had her life was threatened, and a Jewish person saw that, a Jew would not help. Because to help would be to bring another Gentile into this world. And that was the worst thing. They wouldn't even help a mother in need. When a Jewish boy or girl married a Gentile boy or girl, they would conduct a funeral for the Jew. It was like, you died. That was the situation. That was how the Jews saw the Gentiles. And so now Paul speaks to this church, which is mostly Gentiles, and he speaks to them into this situation, and he says to them two simple things, and these are the two main points of the message this morning, and it's this. It's what you were, which is outsiders. I want you to know what you were, which is outsiders. And now I want you to know what you are. Outsiders made insiders. Outsiders made insiders. So let me pray and we'll get into this passage. Dear God, Lord, we thank you, God, for this time that we could come and worship. And we could sing songs to one another. We could sing songs to you. And we could now hear from your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your word would penetrate our hearts. It would convict us. And that you would move. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so the first point, what we were. What we were. And we were outsiders. So let's look at the first couple of verses here in chapter 2, first starting with verse 11. It says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. All right. So Paul here is speaking to the Gentiles, which, by the way, I think is all of us here. So he's speaking to us. All right. And he's saying, you Gentiles, I want you to remember who you were. And what you were was an outsider. You were an outsider to all these things. You were outside to all these blessings that you did not have. And he names five things that you did not have. Okay, let's look at them. First thing they did not have was circumcision, right? Verse 11, it says, you were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. So basically what he's saying there is that all the Jews, circumcision was like a badge. It was like a badge you could stick on yourself to show that you're in, that you're part of the people of God, right? All Jews are circumcised. And they didn't have that physical badge. And so Jews would look at them and say, you uncircumcised person. So they didn't have that badge. It was like a badge you would put on your shirt, a member's only jacket that shows that you're in. So they didn't have that. They did not have the physical badge of an insider. What else didn't they have? It says, verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. All right? The Jews there, the chosen people, they had the hope of the Messiah. Right? Christ means Messiah. One day there would be a Messiah that would come and save them. They had no Messiah. There is no Messiah coming for the Gentiles. They had no hope. All right, thirdly, it says you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And that term commonwealth, you can also say citizenship. Right? And so what does being a citizen mean? It means when you're a citizen, you have certain privileges and rights. You have those. And they had none of those privileges. Because they were not part of Israel. All right? So they had no privileges. They didn't have the privileges of being part of the people of God, of having the promises. And that's the next one. Right? It says, you are strangers to the covenant of promise. Right? And throughout the whole Old Testament, you see these grand and big promises made to the nation of Israel. And they're basically threefold. Right? You'll have a land that will be yours. You will have seed or descendants, and you will have blessing. It's great promises. They were strangers to those promises. They had no promises. And lastly, it says, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, the actual word for without God is atheos. And that's where we get the word atheist. So he's saying, you were atheists. You had no God. You worshiped pagan gods. And you had no hope because of that. And so are you getting the picture here? Paul is saying, you Gentiles, you were total outsiders. You were considered inferior. You were cut off from all privileges. And I want you to remember this. I want you to remember it. You know, maybe they had forgotten. You know, maybe the Gentiles, they've been in this church for a while, and and they're just surrounded by Gentiles. They just forgot who they were. And Paul wants to bring them back. And he wants to bring us back. You were once far off. You were not part of the people of God. You know, we don't have to go all the way back to the Jews and Gentiles to see the hostility, the outsiders and insiders mentality in the world, right? I mean, just this past Wednesday, we celebrated 55 years since Rosa Parks changed America by refusing to give up her seat. Right? Can you imagine a time where when you would get on a bus and there would be sections for colored people, is what the signs would say, and sections for white people? Now that's, I know, it's just like what the Gentiles had, right? It was very similar. There's outsiders, there's insiders. And even today, 55 years later, there's all sorts of those walls and barriers in the world. There's the North Koreans and the South Koreans, right? And they're making war on each other almost. And we have Muslims and Jews fighting. We live in a world where there's insiders and there's outsiders, right? In all sorts of different ways. And you might be saying, I really can't relate to that. You know, it's hard for me to think of myself as an outsider because I've never been discriminated against. I've always been part of the majority group. But, you know, I think actually that we all in some way, we all feel like we're outsiders. In David Anderson's book, Gracism, he cites this social experiment. I'm not sure who did it, but basically what they did was they had 10 people and they asked these 10 people to interview for a job. And before they went in for the interview, they would place a red dot on their cheek. And so they would go into the interview and every single one of them, and then they would debrief afterwards. And every single one of them, when being debriefed, they said during the interview, they felt the interviewer was just staring at that red dot the whole time. But the kicker is this. Of those 10 people, 5 of them, when they thought they were getting a red dot, it was actually a clear dot. Right? But they still felt the same thing. They felt like they were getting stared at. That this red dot on their cheek was the only thing the interviewer was looking at. So what's the point? The point is that we all have like a red dot. Whether people are staring at it or not, we feel like everyone's looking at this one thing that we have that makes us different. Right? And we're insecure about that. You know, it might be something about your appearance. Or maybe there's something about your appearance you wish was different. You know, for me, I kind of wish I was taller. And sometimes I feel like everyone's looking at me and they think I'm just short, you know, even though they're probably not, you know. You know, maybe it's your feeling of a past failure or a lack of accomplishment. You know, we just came from the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you always come at these times and gather with family. And sometimes when you're around family, you think everyone's staring at you and just thinking, what a failure you are. Why couldn't have you been like your brother Bob, you know, or your cousin Joe, or whoever? And you feel like this failure is like your red dot, right? And maybe you were a kid who got picked on. And now you're just overcompensating for it. So you don't feel like you're trying to be an insider, but you're just overcompensating for the fact that you have this red dot. You know, we all feel like an outsider in some way. And Paul says here, he says, I want you to hold on to that feeling. I want you to remember it. Remember, but what does he say? He says, remember that this is what you were. Past tense. This is what you were. Don't stay there. But I want you to remember it. Okay? So the first point we've seen here is that we need to remember that we were outsiders. That we were outsiders. So we move on to the second point here. It says, what we now are. What we now are. So let's read verse 13 here. It says, But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So now, who are we? We've been brought near. We're not outsiders. We're outsiders made insiders. And that is who we are by the blood of Christ. And the rest of this passage, all the way through 18, is just saying, well, how? How did that happen? What did Christ do? What did the blood of Christ do to make us insiders? And the blood of Christ, Christ did two things. And first of all, he broke down the walls that divide us. And he also reconciled us to God. Okay, two things. So let's look at this first thing. Christ broke down the walls between us. Verse 14 and 15. Let's read this here. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. All right? So it says he abolished the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Now this is a little complex, and it might confuse you a little bit, because didn't Jesus say in Matthew 5, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it? Right? So what did he abolish? What is this talking about? And to kind of explain this to you, we kind of have to back up a little bit and really kind of look at the Old Testament and to understand what was the law? What was the purpose of the law? And first of all, we notice that the law was always meant for Israel to point others to God, to point others to God, to invite others to see God. Genesis 12, great promise to Abraham. God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And what does he say lastly? He says, and in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. Right? Israel was meant to be a blessing to other nations. Right? And the law was given to Israel as a means to show others that you can be blessed as well. Right? Deuteronomy 4, I think I have a slide here. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 to 6. Moses here is talking to the Israelites, and he talks about the law here. And this is what it says. It says, see, I have taught you statutes and rules, the law, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it, and keep them and do them. For that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So you see, the law, it wasn't meant to divide. Israel was meant to be this city of light in the world, right? In Isaiah, he calls Israel the light to the nations, right? Exodus says you're a kingdom of priests. What's a priest supposed to do? A priest is supposed to mediate God's blessing to others. And that's what Israel, they're supposed to be this kingdom of priests mediating this good law, showing the whole world around them what it's really like to live truly human, truly live under the Creator King God. And they were to invite people to join them. And they did. Gentiles all over the Old Testament came into the people of Israel because they saw how good it was. Right? But what did the Jews do? What did the Jews do? Did they use the law as a means to invite others into the blessing of what it means to the people of God? No. They used it to divide. They used it to look down on others. They used it to separate themselves in a bad way, to separate themselves from others. And Jesus came and he knew this is what was happening. In Mark 7, he says, you teach as the doctrines, the commandments of men. So they wouldn't just stick to the law that God gave them. They would add to it. They would add more laws laws made by man. And they wouldn't even really keep the intent of the law, but they would just keep just the external part of it. In Luke, Jesus says, "You clean the outside of the cup, but you are full of greed and wickedness." See, the Jews, they turned the law into this stone wall surrounding them, right? And they said, "We got the law, we're keeping it, we're keeping the letter of the law, and you don't. You're not keeping the law, you Gentiles, so keep out. We have the law, and we have the law," and they propped themselves up by it, and it gave them pride. And they looked down, quite literally, remember, in the temple, they would look down into the court of the Gentiles. And they would look down on them. And this is exactly what it says here. It says in verse 14, it says, "He himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh," what? "The dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances." The law had become a dividing wall of hostility. It was never meant to be that. But the Jews had made it. Dividing wall of hostility. Colossians is, in Ephesians, they're very linked. You'll see the same themes are kind of like parallel books. And in Colossians 2, here Paul talking to the Gentiles and regarding these laws, regarding the laws that the Jews use. And this is what it says. It says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to the things that are all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. "These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh." See here? See what the Jews had done? They had turned the law into just these ceremonial things to do. Keeping the Sabbath, new moons, festivals. And they have the appearance of wisdom, but they're just asceticism. They're just external. And this is what Jesus came to abolish. He abolished the law as a source of division. But he also abolished the law by fulfilling it. Right? And that's what was meant in Matthew 5 when he said, "I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." All those laws, the Sabbath, the new moons, the festivals, they all were fulfilled in Christ. Right? Because in the Old Testament, you had the temple, you had the priest. But now Jesus has come and he says, something greater than the temple is here, right? And that's me. So there's no more circumcision because Jesus is the true circumcision. There's no more temple because Jesus is the true temple. There's no more priest because Jesus is the true priest. There's no more Sabbath because Jesus is the true Sabbath. He gives us the true Sabbath rest. All those things are pointing to him. So we don't have to keep the ceremonial law anymore. Jesus has fulfilled it. So that's what it means here when it says that Jesus abolished the law of commandments and ordinances. Isn't it true that this is what we as humans do? We take something, just like the Jews did, we take something that makes us distinctive and special. They had the law which showed them that they were God's chosen people. And that's a good thing. And we use it to look down on others. We use it to separate ourselves from others. We all do this, right? I have a Facebook page. I'm sure a lot of you guys have Facebook pages too. But one thing I notice about Facebook is how much time we put into selecting the right profile picture, right? I mean, everyone has a profile picture. A lot of us change it very frequently, but we put a lot of thought into what picture we use for our profile picture, right? And for most of us, it's not just the face of you, right? It's something about, it represents something about you, right? For me, it's a picture of me and my wife, right? For others, maybe you just had a baby, and so it's a picture of your baby. Some of us have pictures. Maybe you're a really artsy person, so you have a really artsy picture. Right? Or maybe your profile picture is something that you represents something that you do, something that makes you unique. I know someone who's a preacher, and so his profile picture is actually a picture of him preaching, you know, or maybe it's a picture of you, you know, doing your job, playing guitar, something that makes you special. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, right? But because those things are special to us, right? They're part of our identity. They're something we're proud of, right? And that's fine. That's a good thing to be proud of things that make you unique. But, you know, sometimes I find myself kind of taking pride in those things. And honestly, I sometimes look at people who are single and I kind of say, ugh, you know, if only you could get married, you know, if only you could be like me. And my profile picture is me and my wife. And sometimes I think I do use that to kind of set myself apart from those who are single. It's this badge that I have. I've achieved this. I've achieved this personal success in my life and I'm proud of it. And I find my heart really twisting that sometimes. And kind of looking down at people who don't have this badge. And we all do this. We all do this. And that is the depravity of sin. Right? We take these things that are good and useful and they're special things about us and we worship them. And that's the essence of sin, isn't it? It's worshiping anything that's not God. And when we worship them, they enslave us. They enslave us. And we begin to have divisions. We build these walls around us. And that's our sin. That's our depravity. But Jesus came to break down those walls. Right? And what does it say in verse 15? And to break down those walls that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. That word for man could also be translated humanity. He came to make one new humanity where there's no walls. There's not insiders and outsiders. There's just one new humanity in Christ. He came to break down those walls that divide us. But also, he came to break down the bigger wall. Not the ones between us, but the ones between us and God. And that's her second point here. So let's read verse 16 to 18 here. It says, "And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Who was reconciled here? Is it just the Gentiles, the outsiders, those who are far off? No. He says that he might reconcile us both. And what he's talking about, he's talking the Jews and the Gentiles were reconciled. It wasn't just the Gentiles who were far off, who were far away from the privilege that needed to be reconciled to God. It was the Jews too. Verse 17 says, "He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near." So the Israelites, they had all the privileges, they had all the promises, but they were still at war with God. They needed peace preached to them. They were near, yet they were far. You know, it's kind of like saying, you know, the Grand Canyon, all right, and you're standing on one side of the Grand Canyon, and you're trying to get to the other side, and the Jews were 5 feet from the edge, and the Gentiles were 20 feet from the edge. Sure, they're closer, but they're still so far away from God. You see, we're all outsiders. We're all outsiders to God. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you think you're an insider or an outsider, we're all outsiders to God. And that's our real problem. You know, no matter what we do to try to set ourselves apart, to make ourselves feel special, we're always left with this feeling of separation, right? Of nakedness. We're trying to cover up our nakedness by these things that make us special, right? But they can't. We're left with this feeling of emptiness, and we're all trying to cover up the fact that we are separated from our Creator, from our God. We're all outsiders. But the good news of the gospel is this: God in Christ has made us insiders. Verse 18 says, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." All right? We deserve to be treated like outsiders, but we have been made insiders. We have access to the Father. And on the cross, Jesus became an outsider so that we might become insiders. Right? On the cross, Jesus was treated as the ultimate outsider. Right? He was mocked. He was spat on. Right? He was whipped. He was put through an unfair trial and oppressed like a criminal. He was treated as the outsider, as a stranger, as the alien, as the Gentile would have been treated. He was the outsider. And more than all of those things that I just said, he was an outsider to God on the cross. He was forsaken by the God of the universe, by his Father. In the Old Testament, the Jews, they would have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement would cover for their sins, right? And if you read in Leviticus 16, which describes the Day of Atonement, they would have two goats, right? They would take two goats. One goat they would kill, and they would sprinkle its blood on the altar, right? To cleanse them from their sin. But they had another goat. And they took this other goat, and they would put their hands on its head, and they would confess their sins. And they would literally put their sins on this goat. And then they would send this goat off to a remote area, into the wilderness. Why? Why did they do this? Because their sin had to be taken as far away as possible from them. It had to be thrown out into the wilderness, into a desolate place. They had to take their sin and put it on this goat, and this goat had to become an outsider because that's what they deserved. And on the cross, when Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is that goat. He takes our sin and he becomes the outsider that we deserve to be so that we could be insiders. And we just talked about in Ephesians 2:1-10, how the blessings that we have as insiders, right? We are made alive with him. We're raised with him. We are sons and daughters of God. We are completely accepted. We have the status now of being insiders. We have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. And friends, this is the gospel. This is the power that changes hearts, that changes people, that breaks down barriers between us. You know, what's going to solve these hostilities in our world, these divisions that we create, the divisions in the church? What's going to solve it? Is it education? Is it just saying, why can't we just get along? You know, education is good. Let's have more education. Let's have more communication. But the only thing that can really change our hearts that want to divide constantly, this deep-seated need to divide, exclude, separate, is to come to the foot of the cross. To come to the foot of the cross where the ground is truly even. And to see that we're all outsiders. We're all outsiders. There's no insider and outsider. We're all outsiders to God. And to come and throw down those things that we try to prop ourselves up on. Throw down all our sense of accomplishment, all our sense of uniqueness, all those things are rubbish. To throw them down at the cross and to see that we are all outsiders made insiders. And then those things begin to lose their grip on us. We can kind of let go of the fact that, you know, and stop worshiping those things that are good things. And we can begin to embrace people who are different from us. Philippians 3. This is what Paul says. Philippians 3, he kind of lists all those things that made him special before. And he says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised. I was the most righteous Pharisee. And what does he say? All these things I count as loss. I count as loss. He says, I count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. You know, I invite you this morning to throw down those things that you use to separate yourself from others. Be found in Christ, in Christ alone. Come to the cross. Come to the level ground of the cross and be found in him. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you broke down the walls between us. You gave us access to our Father. Lord God, we want to just confess right now that we are depraved hearts. We always want to just separate ourselves from others, Lord. God, we pray, God, that you would help us to see that we are all outsiders. That we have been made insiders through the cross. Help us to grasp how high and long and deep is your love for us, that it might embolden us to embrace others. We pray this in your name.